Welcome in as my guest, Mr. Craig Russo. Craig, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Eric. Great to be with you.
How are you?
I'm just fine.
Good. How's things out in the Midwest?
Actually, it looks a little bit like Syracuse today, kind of overcast. But
Hold on a second, Craig. What makes you think it's overcast here today? Maybe it's bright sunshine.
Well, okay, you're right. I shouldn't assume.
But you're right, Craig, because I'm looking out my window from our studio now, and yes, it's a gray, cloudy November day, although I must say, temperatures are fairly mild.
Right, good.
We've been enjoying temperatures in the 50s throughout the week, so we can't complain about that. Temperature on your new record, though, is a lot hotter than 50 degrees. I mean, you really cook on this new project called Soul Eyes, and let's sort of focus on that to begin with. A couple of different players this time around than on your last release. There's a couple of people that are sort of holdovers from the last release, but I notice you've got some new names. Can you tell us a little bit about the group for this second album?
Yeah, sure, Eric. The group has really evolved quite a lot since the earlier project. You know, really, the earlier CD was, that represented just the early formative stages of the group. I just sort of had some ideas, and I knew some good players, and I wanted to do a studio project. And that's how that came about. What you're hearing on the new CD really reflects now 3 or 4 years of an actively gigging group. We play quite actively in our region throughout central Illinois, and we're trying to reach a little bit beyond that these days as well. You know, a lot of things have changed. Certainly my playing has changed a lot over the last few years. That's just thanks to the opportunity to do all these gigs and practicing and a couple of study trips to Cuba. I've also been able to generate a lot of interest among the local regional musicians in this group because there's really nothing else quite like this in our area. So I've really been able to attract the very best musicians in the region. So the new CD represents a core of a rhythm section that plays together more often and horn players that either have more experience playing Latin jazz in particular or more experience with this group. There a lot of standout players on this. Chip McNeil is currently the chairman of jazz studies at the University of Illinois in Champaign. And Chip's he's a world-class player for sure. He spent several years on the road with Arturo Sandoval. He also was a longtime associate of Maynard Ferguson. The alto player on the CD is a friend of mine I met in Cuba a few years ago named Doug Little. And Doug is a standout alto player based in the Minneapolis area, and has really been all over the country and all over the world, and has a special interest in Latin music like I do. So he helped me out with some of the arrangements. Other players, Jeff Helgeson, the trumpet player, is based in Champaign and former featured soloist with the Ray Charles Orchestra, and is kind of one of the best all-around regional players. And rhythm section players are just guys that, you know, we've just been trying to cultivate something. My co-percussionist, Jeff Magby, an excellent all-around drummer and percussionist. I had several different piano players on this. Simon Rowe, Chris Mayhew, and Sean Parsons were on this. And then, of course, my favorite bass player from the area, Toby Curtwright. Mm. So lots of people went into this.
It goes to show you. I mean, again, you don't have to be, you know, again, these are not necessarily household names that people around the country all know, but it goes to show you the diversity of talent that we have all around this country. I mean, these guys obviously have made a name for themselves in the, you know, in a regional sense, but certainly you can put them up against, you know, any player in the country, and I'm sure you'd, you know, you'd go to battle with these guys any day.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. You know, it's part of, it seems maybe a completely unexpected that a group like this would come out of central Illinois, but this relates to what you're saying, that, you know, there are good players everywhere. There are good players in Syracuse who are world-class players who, you know, aren't well-known on a world stage, but they could be. And the same thing applies here. Some very good players and a fairly receptive kind of regional audience, even though we're kind of, you know, swimming upstream a little bit culturally here, and that there's not really a Hispanic population and it's not a major metropolitan area, but really this band gigs, you know, at least twice a month, sometimes 4 or 5 times a month. We've had some very nice work come our way over the last few months. We opened up for the great Nancy Wilson here in Springfield in mid-July, and we play for local festivals, and as I said, we're with the CD, we're trying to reach a little bit beyond the regional level. We're going to try to see if we can get our foot in the door and play a few larger festivals in the region, and maybe even do a little traveling if it all works out.
Let's hope it works out indeed. You mentioned about great players all over, not only the country but the world. You've had the good fortune, I don't exactly know how many times, but you've had the good fortune of going to Cuba to travel. You've traveled the world over, but certainly I have to ask you, having been to Cuba and having seen this music up close and personal from people that grew up playing it, how would you say watching it in Cuba, when you've gone to Cuba and made those trips, how would you say that has added to your growth as and maturation as somebody who interprets this music? What's that been like to see it up close and personal, where these people, you know, have lived and breathed this music since they were their early years?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's really inspiring, because you're seeing it from the most direct source that you can imagine. And just as you said, it's part of their environment. They think about the rhythms in a way completely differently than we do. And really the best anyone like myself can hope for is to be able to take that. You know, I'm never going to play like a Cuban. It's never going to happen because I don't have that environment. But like anything, we take that and we put it through our own experience and our own background. And that's done at a very high level with a number of people in this country. It's interesting, you know, you brought that up. I was out in the Bay Area a few weeks ago and spent some time with a favorite drummer of mine, Paul Van Wagening. And
sure.
He plays on all of John Santos' stuff, all of Mark Levine's Latin Tinge stuff. I mean, he's really one of my favorite drummers. The guy's Dutch. I don't even know if he speaks Spanish. But he's the first call drum set player for any major recording project in the Bay Area and beyond that. And he said the same thing. He says, look, I don't play like a Cuban. I never will. But, you know, you understand the rhythms, and then you just bring your own experience to it. And, you know, there is a language you have to speak musically. You just can't kind of make it up and say, oh, it sounds sort of Latin. I mean, there are some very specific things that one needs to know about different rhythms and what goes with what. But once you learn that, and you kind of start to get a sense of the feel, which is always an abstract thing. I mean, how do you teach that? But you listen to it enough, you get a sense of that, and you can translate it into your own playing. But that feel is very strong in Cuba. It's really an extraordinary place. It's been a life-changing experience going there, for sure.
I can imagine so. We're chatting with Craig Russo, who leads his Latin jazz project on their new recording called Soul Eyes, which is made up of 9 tunes in all. And, you know, I like what you say in the liner notes to the record. This is really based on what we just talked about. You say, we cannot claim to express the Afro-Caribbean flavor of this music with the same authenticity as native speakers. But despite this, your music and what you guys have done with the music does have its own authenticity. And on those lines, with this music, we heard Maiden Voyage. Most of these tunes, if not all, are tunes that people are going to be familiar with, such as the title cut, which is a Mal Waldron tune. You do the Bobby Timmons cut, Moanin'. We're going to hear in just a few minutes, you're going to hear Wayne Shorter's ESP. Before you actually recorded this music, did you, I take it, listen to the original versions of these songs and then decide, okay, how are we going to, you know, how are we going to maybe touch it up and give it our own special flavor? How did you come upon the material for the album?
You know, they're tunes that I like and I know. And did I listen to the original versions? Probably not, but really coming from the jazz direction, it's a very well-known repertoire to me in the first place. And it's just certain melodies, I think, in my opinion, they lend themselves to the Latin treatment. Sometimes the melody's rewritten slightly to fit with the rhythmic framework of the tune. I don't know quite how to explain how I arrive at how I choose to play the tune.
Right.
Somehow it just makes sense to me. I hear it in my head for a few weeks or a few months, and maybe I try it out in the group, and we see how it goes. And I have to say, you know, all the arrangements on that, the main ideas for the arrangements are my own, and the idea for the structures of the tunes, but I had quite a lot of help. You know, I'm a music school dropout, so I can't do the horn arrangements and come up with all these hip harmonies, and I have to say Chip McNeil helped me out quite a bit with that, and Doug Little also helped out quite a bit with that.